This is the 2022 Manitoulin Family Bible Camp. Our speaker for this session is Brother Stephen McFarland from the Book Road, Ontario Ecclesia. His theme this week is Overcoming Jericho, the Work of Joshua. This is his fifth class, and the subject for this class is the lesson from Zacchaeus. Our reading this morning was taken from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 28. Brother Stephen.
Thank you, Brother David, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
No slides today, just focus and our Bibles. The introductory reading, keeping you on your toes, and hopefully we should round out our study nicely together this morning. Just two things before we get started. We are going to take time this morning, about 10 minutes, give or take, to work through some action plans. So you are going to need a piece of paper. If you don't have one, we have a notebook at the front. You can just rip it out. The recommendation when we get there is to fold the piece of paper into four quadrants, which we'll talk through at the appropriate time. But just make sure you do have a blank piece of paper. We will spend some time to start to actually make this something that we can take away and put into practice as we go back into our homes, into our ecclesias, or back into your tents and trailers for kids camp. Also just wanted to take the time to say thank you. Riel and I and the kids have had a wonderful week. It's been an incredible week. First Bible school in 3 years, as we said, and it's made us remember how special Bible school is. And it's been amazing conversations, getting to know some of you a bit better, getting to meet some of you for the first time. So just wanted to say thank you for everything that you've done for us this week. It's been a very special week. All right, we are at the end of our time together in the study on overcoming Jericho. And what a week it's been. We've been very blessed, haven't we, to meet together in this place, away from the world, with our mind focused on the Word of God, to study together, to grow in our friendships and our relationships, to grow in our love for God's Word, and hopefully in an appreciation for the characters and the events that we saw in the early chapters of Joshua. And brothers and sisters, we've worked through some exhortations, haven't we? We've asked some pertinent questions, some personal questions of ourselves that we need to wrestle with to make sure that these things become real for us. They're not just words on a page. They were real people who served a real God. And the stories are there for us to learn from that we might become better, that we might become better servants of our Lord Jesus Christ as we follow his example, as we wait for the coming day of God Almighty. These things were written for our learning, we're told. And so what a shame if we don't take the learning and apply it as we leave this place. We remember the lessons from the leadership of Joshua. We saw, didn't we? He had low points in his life, and yet his faith carried him through. We saw the incredible faith of Rahab. We were moved, weren't we, by the power of God to work with anyone, regardless of our past. We noted how Achan let go of the scarlet thread. We compared this to God's promise to never let go of us. We saw how Achan let it go and how we're not to do the same thing in our life. And so to wrap up our thoughts on this study, we thought we'd just take a walk around Jericho again. But this time, as we enter the city, we do so with our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 19. We're going to see the lessons that still come from this place, from Jericho, but thousands of years later from when the walls first fell. They're still relevant for us. So let's just get our Bibles out. We are going to get to Luke chapter 19, but not just yet. There are wonderful lessons that we're going to see come out in Luke chapter 19. One specific lesson that's going to hammer home the point of everything we've been trying to talk through in our time together. Brothers and sisters, we know, don't we, and it's been very evident for us, that faith without works is dead. That's been very clear for us. We've seen that in the life of Joshua, evident in the life of Rahab. We know that we are to develop a living faith, a faith that is evident in what we do, that's motivated by our beliefs. Put another way, when all is said and done, watch their feet. That's what one brother said to me one time. Does our feet follow our faith? Are we motivated by the faith that we hold to put it into action? We all love to talk. What if someone just watched our feet? Where would we go? Where would we lead them? Remember what Joshua was told, where to put his footsteps. Let our feet follow our faith, brothers and sisters. Are we compelled, because of our love of God, our appreciation for his word, to do something with our faith? To help other brothers and sisters in need, to get active in the preaching activities of our ecclesias, to organize the next event, to teach a Sunday school class, to clean the hall, to give an honest encouragement or correction to those that are around us. Are we motivated by the faith that we have to put it into practice? And yet we know that so often what stands in the way of us acting on our faith is us. Our own doubts, our own fears, our own worries and concerns, how it will be viewed, what others might think of us. We're going to be reminded of this very fact this morning in Luke chapter 19, and hopefully it will compel us forward. But before we go there, we just wanted to remind ourselves of some of the lessons that we've taken from our study so far, because we're going to see them come up again here in Luke chapter 19. Just as our Lord was about to enter Jericho 1,400 years earlier, the children of Israel, fresh off of 40 years of wilderness wandering, were also about to come to Jericho. And what we've considered together this week is going to help us appreciate where the mind of our Lord was. We're going to see what he'll experience in Luke chapter 19. Remember that it was the children of Israel. They were preparing to inherit the promised land. And they're presented now with this opportunity to show their faith. God has given you the land. We circled or highlighted that word, give and giveth. God had given you the land. What are you going to do with the faith that you have in God that he's actually done that? Will you be like the generation that perished in the wilderness because of unbelief? Or will you be motivated by your faith? Will you capture what God has given to you? We remember that Joshua warned them. Joshua warned them not to be distracted as they entered into this land, not to be attracted to the silver and the gold that they would find in this city. That's what we saw back in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. I won't ask you, brothers and sisters. I asked the teens what word they highlighted here, and they nailed it. They all had circled and highlighted accursed or curse. It's so clear in these verses. Don't be distracted, Joshua was saying, as they come into this land. Remember, we are meant to overcome Jericho. The city shall be accursed. Even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot save alive, she and all that are with her in the house, because she put her faith into action, she hid the messengers that we sent, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. It's as if God is just knocking on the side of our head. Don't forget it. Repeated and repeated and repeated. If you capture the world, that's what happens to you. You have to destroy it. We have to destroy it. Anything that they found here was to be given to God. It was to belong to God. And Israel faithfully followed Joshua's instruction that he had received the Lord. We considered that in Hebrews 11. They were faithful. The walls of Jericho fell, not by strength or might or battering rams, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. See, they took their faith and they put it into action. For 6 days, they marched around the city. They believed what God said and they did something with that belief. And on the seventh day, they went around the city 7 times and finally they were told to shout. Remember, they didn't know, brothers and sisters. They didn't know when the time was going to come when they were to shout. That instruction was given to Joshua, not to the people. And by God's power and their faith, the walls fell down. And we know the inhabitants of the city, they were destroyed under piles of stone and then burnt with fire, but not all of them. Only Rahab and her household were spared because of the faith that she demonstrated. Now, while her faith was evident, we considered yesterday that one Israelite from the tribe of Judah didn't really believe that God meant what he said. Achan brought a curse on Israel and his family when he decided to take those 3 things. That was in Joshua chapter 7, verse 21. We saw the process that Achan went down. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment. If you want to learn more about garments, talk to Brother Joe. 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them. And then I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. The process that Achan went down. All that is in the world, we were told. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And just like we do, Achan followed it down. And in verse 24, Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and everything. His sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, all that he had. Remember, brothers and sisters, what we do affects other people. Our attitude and our behaviors affects others in our ecclesias and in our homes. And so we said that if our attitude's contagious, would you want someone else to catch it? Joshua said to Achan, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones, burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. See, Jericho, brothers and sisters, stands as this wonderful cameo for Israel's entry into the promised land, because with these events, it would have been clear to them. It would have been clear to them that faithful Gentiles like Rahab could be grafted into the nation of Israel. That is clear to us, isn't it? It would have been evident that if they remained a faithful nation, they could overcome the inhabitants of the land. And yet we saw how easy it is to forget these things. How we can listen to an exhortation on Sunday, and we forget everything on Monday. The nation of Israel was shown that the unfaithful would suffer the fate of Achan and his family, and that fate was to be buried under a rock pile grave. So how fitting that Achan was buried under a pile of stones, just like the wicked city Jericho, a pile of rubble. Now let's just come forward to Luke chapter 19. If you're anything like me, I always find it difficult when you come to certain passages in Scripture, not to sing the Sunday school songs. I usually write little musical notes in my margin, just on little verses you like to sing. This is one of them. You get to these verses, you just want to start singing. I won't do it for you, but here we see, right from the very beginning, verse 1. Our Lord Jesus Christ enters the city of Jericho. Immediately, brothers and sisters, our minds should be back in the early chapters of Joshua. Why here? Why now? Jericho was known as the city that had amazing palm trees. This actually was probably not very far from the location that was destroyed by God in front of Joshua and the children of Israel. Perhaps we wonder, what was Jesus thinking as he viewed this place? You know, at the time of the New Testament, as Jesus would have known it, Jericho actually was quite a prosperous city. It had a great palm forest. It had world-famous balsam groves. They let off this perfume. It was said by historians, you could smell the city before you saw the city. It was prosperous. Josephus calls Jericho a divine region, the fattest in Palestine. We also know here the context. We know hindsight because we can read on. We know this was Jesus' last time through this city. What was just around the corner, brothers and sisters? He was making his way to Jerusalem. He was going to be crucified. Just look at verse 11. As they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem. Verse 28, and when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. Jesus knew what was coming. And yet here, he comes to this place, at this time, as he makes his way up to Jerusalem. And yet, right away, Luke wants to bring our attention to one character in particular. Verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, Zacchaeus' name means pure or purity. It seems perhaps eventually he would live up to his name. And here in Luke 19, we have this remarkable story, brothers and sisters, of determination. Because here is a man physically unable to see the Lord. The crowds of people are gathering around Jesus, and we're told he's too short in stature to be able to see the Lord. And so this grown man decides to humble himself, to find another way to satisfy his curiosity. Zacchaeus races ahead without any shame or embarrassment. He acts like a young child, and he climbs up a tree. You ever been around a group of people, you kind of look off to the side, you see something, someone doing something a little bit strange? That's probably Zacchaeus. This crowd of people, and if you're there and you glance over, you see this grown man scaling up a tree. This bizarre story and situation. He was so determined to see the Lord that no obstacle would get in his way, even if it meant humbling himself like a child. That was going to be done. You know, there's something to be said for this type of attitude and determination, humbling ourselves just to get to Jesus, not caring for what others might think. Remember Rahab putting out that line right away, not caring what others might think. Here's that same determination of spirit. What are we embarrassed about, brothers and sisters, with our faith? Zacchaeus shows there's nothing to be embarrassed about. If it's to get to the Lord, we do it. Let nothing stand in our way. And so he puts his faith into action. In verse 4, look at the action words. It says he ran and he climbed. And when the Lord comes to the tree, the Lord actually has to look up to him. He's probably higher than 6 feet up in this tree. And when Jesus looks up, what does he say? Does he say, "You there"? Does he say, "Excuse me, sir"? No. He calls him by name. Zacchaeus. Jesus tells Zacchaeus to come down. He says, "Make haste, come down." And Zacchaeus does just that. He makes haste. He rushes down to meet the Lord. You can't help but feel this urgency with Zacchaeus. All of these action words. He's motivated to do things, to do it in a hurry when it comes to Jesus. Now, there's a wonderful verse here, brothers and sisters, beside verse 5 for our margins. I just recommend 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. The Lord knew him by name. He calls him by name. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, we're told there, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Brothers and sisters, does the Lord know us? It's hard to know somebody if you don't spend time with them. Do we spend time in the things of this book? Do we spend time in prayer to our Heavenly Father, meditating on the Word, thinking about the character of our Lord and the changes we should make to be more like His example? Does the Lord know us? Here in Luke 19, the Lord calls Zacchaeus by name. Now, this is interesting. I was talking to my dad about this study, and he brought this point up, so I'll share it for you. Just an interesting comment on individuals in Scripture that are mentioned as being elevated into a tree, hung upon a tree, up in a tree. Any ideas? Anyone come to mind? Absalom. Yes? Yeah, there's a few. I'll give you some and add to the list. I'll give you three, and then you can add to the list. Haman was one. Perhaps you can just jot these in your margins. Esther 7, verse 10. Hung upon the gallows, the trees that he had prepared for Mordecai. Esther 7, verse 10. You have the baker in Genesis 40, verse 22, where Joseph told him in 3 days he would be hung upon a tree. And then the one that was mentioned with Absalom. 2 Samuel 18, verse 9. Here's this prideful man lifted up off his mule, caught in a tree, killed by wicked men. We're told that here was someone who everyone left him. He'd accomplished nothing. And then there's Zacchaeus, who used this tree to see the Lord, but the Lord said, come down. Come down, he said. See, Zacchaeus wasn't going to be able to save men and women from the curse. No, none of these individuals that were lifted up in a tree could save any man. And yet our Lord Jesus Christ was on his way to Jerusalem to be lifted up on the cross to take away the curse of sin and death. Here's a righteous man who would willingly be lifted up, hung upon this tree, so to speak, killed by wicked men, but in doing so, would save men and women. And so it's an incredible scene that we have here in Luke chapter 19. The Lord stands in the city of Jericho, not far from where the old city now lay under rubble. See, the last king of Judah, Zedekiah, he was captured right here, and now in comes Israel's true king. Do we get the picture of what's taking place? Here stands the Lord Jesus Christ, the great, 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 great grandson of Rahab, the woman who saved herself and her family from the destruction of the very city that he's now in because she put her faith into action. And here stands a man from the tribe of Judah, the same tribe as Achan, who brought the curse upon his family. And what is Jesus about to do? But to nail that to the tree. Here stands the one man who will draw all men to him in just a few weeks as he's set to hang upon the cross. You can only imagine the flood of thoughts and emotions that would have gone through our Lord's mind as he's here in Jericho, preparing to head to Jerusalem. And he's there looking up at Zacchaeus. We see that Zacchaeus makes haste as the Lord commands him. He gets set to host the Lord at his house. Picking up in Luke 19, verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus received him joyfully, it says. Was this the shared reaction of everybody? No. What was the multitude's reaction who witnessed this incredible scene? They stood outside the house and they murmured. What was he doing with this wicked sinner? You know, it makes us think this morning, brothers and sisters, where would we be in this story? Would we feel comfortable to be in the house? Or would we be outside, murmuring? See, Zacchaeus was prepared to change his lifestyle, even the way that he made his living, to follow Christ. He was prepared to make major changes. It's not easy to change. For some, it takes a lifetime. And Zacchaeus, it appears, was ready to do it. You know, it's a similar exhortation to what we looked at in the life of Rahab. It makes us think about how welcoming we are and where we stand and see ourselves in this story. Sometimes it's easier to judge people, to stand outside and to scoff. Our Lord is in, working, seeing a determination of spirit and molding this. And so the question is, how do we see ourselves in this story? Here's a man, Zacchaeus, who had an incredible enthusiasm about him. Every word that's associated with him here is about speed and haste and hurry and action. Just think to the day of your baptism. Think of the enthusiasm that you had, that excitement you had. You wanted to take on every responsibility. Give me everything, I'll do it. Do we still have that same zeal and enthusiasm, brothers and sisters? That same excitement, is it still with us? Would we do anything to get a glimpse of our Lord? We have the Word made flesh in the book before us. Do we do anything to get this book into our hearts and minds? The example we used with the teenagers this morning. Let's say you get in your car, you're driving just down the road, and you realize you forget your phone. How many of us, be honest with yourself, wouldn't turn around and go get it? Now, let's say we're leaving just down the road, and we realize we've forgotten our Bibles. How many of us, be realistic, brothers and sisters, would say, I'll just use one at the back of the hall? How do we treat the Lord Jesus Christ in the words we have? Are we that enthusiastic to do whatever it takes to get a glimpse of our Lord? Zacchaeus climbed a tree, humbling himself. He didn't care. Are we ashamed of what others might say to us? If they see the zeal that we have for the faith that we have, we're going to put it into practice, irrespective of the results. Would we change our way of life? Would we change how we make a living just to be closer to our Lord? Did we do everything we could to be present this week? Not physically, mentally. To be here with our Lord. With the characters, Jonah and Joshua and Rahab, were we there in this story? Did we do everything we could? Perhaps it's even more amazing how Zacchaeus did the very same thing that Jesus' great-great-great-great-great-grandmother did many years ago. Did we catch that? Luke 19, verse 6. It says that Zacchaeus received him joyfully. That word, it means to receive as a guest. Just turn with me, we've been here a lot, to James chapter 2. You want to hold your hand back in Luke 19 because you'll want to get this into your margins. The very same Greek word is used here in James chapter 2. Guess who it's used in regards to? Zacchaeus received him joyfully. James 2:25, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? In the very same spirit, you can imagine Jesus seeing the spirit in Zacchaeus. Here he is in Jericho. See, Rahab's faith was demonstrated in the actions that she took. And it's picked up, isn't it, in Hebrews 11. By faith, the harlot Rahab, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received, again, the spies with peace. It means to take them by the hand. It's an incredible spirit that we see here. No wonder why Jesus says to Zacchaeus that this day, this very day that Jesus chose to visit him, is salvation come to this house. For here is a son of Abraham. There's those two, again, linked together. Rahab and Abraham, we've seen them consistently. Jesus saw in this man the very characteristics of Rahab, his great, 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 whatever it is, grandmother. Like faithful Rahab, who believed and then did something. She received the spies, and in so doing, she saved her whole household. And so we think about the example that Rahab is to us. Her faith in actions shows, too, that we can be grafted into the vine of Israel. And here before us, we have the same example. We're to see ourselves in this story every time we see Jericho. We are there. Just like Zacchaeus, Jesus wants us to demonstrate our faith in what we do. He wants to abide with us, to be in our homes. The love of God's word is to be the motivating force in our lives. It's to cause us to do things we would never have the faith to do on our own. The words of Psalm 119 are so fitting here as we think about the story of Zacchaeus, the mind of our Lord as he's here in Jericho. Psalm 119, verse 140 says, "Thy word is very pure." There's the meaning of Zacchaeus' name. "Therefore, thy servant loveth it." Perhaps Zacchaeus related to these words, and here before him is the word made flesh. Zacchaeus wanted it, brothers and sisters. He wanted to be with the Lord. Verse 141 of Psalm 119, "I am small, like Zacchaeus, and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts." I'll be with you. I won't forget, because I want to be with you. See, just as Zacchaeus was small in stature, there's times in our lives, brothers and sisters, we can feel small and insignificant. Perhaps it's in our abilities to help, to do things in the ecclesia and the work of the truth. Perhaps we get the feeling of inadequacy, not being able to help in ways that others are able to. God is more pleased with our efforts, brothers and sisters. We see this clearly in the example of Zacchaeus. Do whatever you can, in whatever way you can. God wants our efforts. We know how the world treats all men and women who exhibit faith and who proclaim the truth, even when others don't want to hear it. At times, it can make us feel small. Small in our abilities, small in our faith. But take comfort in the example of Zacchaeus. And so how comforting it is that Jesus then stands there, and for all those to hear that are there outside the house, Zacchaeus there in front of him, he delivers in Luke 19, verse 13, the parable of the nobleman who delivers 10 pounds to each of his servants. And to the faithful servant, what does he say? The one who did something with what was entrusted to him. The nobleman says, reading in verse 17, "He said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities." That's a direct connection back to verse 3. Zacchaeus was little of stature. It's as if Jesus is saying, use that determination of spirit. I can use that. Even though you might feel little, brothers and sisters, in your ability, do whatever you can, God can work with it. The whole lesson of what we've been looking at is that we are to be motivated by our faith to put it into action, to do something with our faith. We can overcome Jericho. We can leave the world behind, just like Rahab did. Let our faith motivate us to action. Seek with all our hearts to be in the Lord's presence. Don't let any obstacle stand in our way. If we can do this, then we truly are the sons and daughters of Abraham. And the Lord will abide with us. He will come into our house. Now, we're going to take some time now before we end. We're going to end off in Revelation. But before we get there, we're going to spend 10 minutes, brothers and sisters. 10 minutes to formulate an action plan. Study for study's sake is just that, study. We are to be doers of the word. You've heard it. We've all heard it this week. We need to do something with the lessons, the exhortations, the principles, the stories, and the characters that we've considered. So it might feel unnatural to just sit in silence for 10 minutes, but you're going to be writing. Hopefully the minds are active. But what we're going to do is we're going to write ourselves out an action plan. And I'd like you first just to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm not going to read anything here. This is our daily reading for August 22nd. Just a few weeks. This might be the kick that we need if we've forgotten about our action plan. Once we're done with it, we're going to put it here in 1 Corinthians 1. We'll think about these things, and then hopefully in a few weeks, if we've forgotten some of these things, we can do it. Now, here's a suggestion just for what you should do. Fold your piece of paper in four. This is a suggestion. You can do whatever you'd like. Here's a suggestion. Fold the piece of paper into four. In the top left quadrant, you sign it, you date it, and then you put a little underline for someone else to sign it with you. We need to drive accountability to the actions that we're setting for ourselves. So we had all the teens, they signed it themselves, they had someone else read theirs, and someone else signed it to drive accountability. They're going to help them try to achieve these tasks. Then the remaining three quadrants, the suggestion is you write start, stop, keep. What are you going to start doing based on the studies that we've gone through? What are we going to stop doing based on what we've looked into? And what are we going to keep doing, maybe with a zeal and determination of spirit that we saw from Zacchaeus? So we're going to give, We'll say about 10 minutes. Take the time to do it. Put an action plan together, brothers and sisters. Think about the characters we've looked at. Think about their life. Think about the exhortations, the principles. What are things we can go back into our lives, away from this place, to better ourselves in the eyes of God? 10 minutes. Take the time to do it. After the class is over, sometime this afternoon, it's helpful to make these lessons come alive for us. The lessons from Jericho are there for us to learn from. We are meant to overcome Jericho in the sense. And we just want to conclude our time together, brothers and sisters, just by coming to Revelation 21. You can turn there, you can look up at the banner. It's the same verse we're going to consider. But we too are meant to see beyond these walls to the lessons, to a faith that's real and that God wants us to develop. We are to be those that overcome. Here we have in Revelation 21 the fulfillment of Abraham's covenant, an incredible time that it speaks of. You'll see there in verse 4, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We want to be there in that day, brothers and sisters. And look at what it says in verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now perhaps you just make a note to Genesis 17, verse 8. Because that phrase at the end, I will be his God and he shall be my son, is what's picked up in the promises to Abraham. See, we want to join, don't we, to the promises of Abraham. And to do that, brothers and sisters, we need to be overcomers. We need to overcome Jericho, just as the nation of Israel did. Just as Rahab was able to do, and she joined herself to the promises of Abraham. So as we take these studies with us from this place back into our lives, let's be reminded of the leadership of Joshua, the substance of Rahab's faith to do something, the lesson of temptation from Achan, the need to rid our house, the determination of Zacchaeus. And let us remember our Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done for you and I, so that it might be said for each of us, even this day is salvation come to this house.